Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for the opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. We're together again, and we're going to continue our teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. But just before I get started, I want to make sure that we all understand there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit that is mentioned to us in the Word of God. And of these 9 gifts, there are 3 categories of gifts. The simplest way to describe these 9 gifts is that 3 of them say something, 3 of them do something, and 3 of them reveal something. The 3 that say something are called the gifts of utterance or the vocal gifts. They are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. Again, the 3 gifts that say something are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. The 3 gifts that do something are the gifts of power or the power gifts. They are the gift of faith or special faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Again, the 3 power gifts are the gifts of faith or special faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. And the three gifts that reveal something are the gifts of revelation, or the gifts that reveal something. They are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Again, the three gifts that reveal something are the gifts of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. These gifts are listed in the order of their importance. Of the three gifts of revelation, the word of wisdom is the best gift. Of the three gifts of the power gifts, the gift of faith or special faith is the best gift. Of the three gifts of utterance or the vocal gifts, the gift of prophecy is the best gift. Now, mind you, all these gifts are important, but those gifts that we named, we're putting them in priority of which ones are the most important. But of course, remember, the best gifts in any situation, remember this, the best gifts of any situation is the gift that is most needed at that time. Amen? So, please act accordingly. Now, please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1. And it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So we see here the Apostle Paul is telling us that he's getting ready to talk about certain things. And those certain things are spiritual gifts. And then he goes on to say he do not want us to be ignorant. So apparently, if he don't want us to be ignorant, he wants us informed. He wants us knowledgeable. He wants us to understand the things of the spiritual gifts. Amen? You know, there is a great weakness in the body of Christ because of the awful ignorance concerning the gifts of God and the gifts that has been given to the body of Christ, his church, us. God wants us, his body, the church, to be powerful in every way because of the revelation of the knowledge of his will and concerning the power and manifestation of his spirit. His desire is for us to be continually hungry to receive more and more and more of his spirit. Just as Jesus knew the disciples would need the Holy Spirit in succeeding in their lives and ministry, well, God knows we need that same Holy Spirit and his gifts that we have been given for the profit of all, the body of Christ, in today for our lives and for his ministry. Amen. Now, prophecy is the most important of the three gifts of inspiration or utterance or the vocal gifts. The reason it is the most important is because it takes the other two diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues to equal prophecy. Let me repeat that. Prophecy is the most important of the three gifts of inspiration or utterance or the vocal gifts. The reason it is the most important is because it takes the other two, the diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, to equal prophecy. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to read verse number 5. And it says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesize. Amen. Now, inferring that to speak with tongues and interpret is equivalent to prophecy. Therefore, prophecy is really the most important of these three gifts of inspiration or of vocal. Prophecy is the most important. Look what Paul is telling us. He's telling us in 1 Corinthians 14:5, he says, I wish that you all spoke with tongues. He wished that we all spoke in tongues. But then again, he says, but even more than that, he said, I wish that you would prophesize. And going on, he says, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Now, prophecy is supernatural utterance in a known tongue. Let me repeat that. Prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. Diverse kinds of tongues or different kinds of tongues is supernatural utterance in a unknown tongue. Repeat that. Diverse kinds of tongues is supernatural utterance in a unknown tongue. Prophecy in a known tongue, diverse kinds of tongues in an unknown tongue. Now, interpretation of tongues is a supernatural flowing forth of that which has been spoken in tongues. In other words, it is the interpretation of what was spoken, or translation, that's better, of what was spoken in tongues. Now, the Hebrew word that is translated to prophecy, it simply means this. It means to flow forth. It carries the thought to bubble forth like a fountain, to let drop, to lift up, to tumble forth, to spring forth. That's what the Hebrew word translates to prophesize. Let me repeat that. It means to flow forth. It carries the thought to bubble forth like a fountain, to let drop, to lift up, to tumble forth, to spring forth. The Greek word is translated to prophecy means to speak for another. It means to speak for God or to be his spokesperson. Amen. So we have the ability and the authority to be the spokesperson for Almighty God. Amen. Now, you there in 1 Corinthians 14? We're going to read verses 1 through 5. Amen. And says this, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesize. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Amen. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesize. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Amen. Praise the Lord. In this passage of scripture, what Paul is telling us is to desire spiritual gifts, but especially that we may prophesize. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean we are not to desire the other gifts, because I said all the gifts are important, but that we are to put this gift first. At the end of the chapter, Paul also is saying something very interesting about what he just said. In verse number 39, he says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesize, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Amen. He's also telling us the inspiration of the Holy Spirit emphasizes the importance of prophecy. The gift of prophecy and the prophet's ministry are two different things. The gift of prophecy and the prophet's ministry are two different things. The simple gift of prophecy should not be confused with the prophetic office. Let me repeat that. The simple gift of prophecy should not be confused with the prophetic office. But be that prophecy speaks unto men for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. That's what prophecy in the New Testament speaks to. It speaks to edification, it speaks to exhortation, and it speaks to comfort. So, but what is the meaning of edification? What is the meaning of exhortation? And what is the meaning of comfort? Well, when you edify or doing edification, that is the act of building up one's faith, the promotion of spiritual growth, especially in the new believer and for the whole body of Christ. Edification. Exhortation means to call on, to beseech, or urgently asked to do something, to admonish, to exhort, to urge someone to pursue some course of conduct. And finally, to comfort, that is a calling to one's side, either on exhortation or consultation. It combines encouragement with alleviation of grief. So that's what edification, exhortation, and comfort means. Amen. And we should not confuse them with Old Testament, where the prophets, they foretold of events that were going to happen or predicted. Thus, we can readily see that in the simple form of prophecy, there is no revelation. There's no revelation in the simple form of prophecy. In the office of a prophet, however, we often find revelation coming forth, even by prophecy. That's right. In the office of the prophet, we can see revelation coming forth, even if he's prophesizing. It is also interesting to note the difference between prophecy in the Old Testament and prophecy in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, prophecy is essentially foretelling future events. And what I mean by foretelling, that's foretelling. And it foretells of future events. Whereas in the New Testament, it shifts strongly to forthtelling, foretelling. In the simplest gift of prophecy, there is no foretelling whatsoever. Amen. In the New Testament, it speaks to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. Now notice that Paul is telling the whole church at Corinth to desire to prophesize and to desire spiritual gifts. He says, but rather that you may prophesize. Yet Paul had just gotten through telling them in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians that God has set in the church, what? Verse 28, it says, first apostles. Then it says, second, prophets, and then thirdly, teachers. Then Paul asked the question. He says, are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? The answer is no again. They couldn't be. If prophesying made you a prophet, then Paul would be contradicting himself. However, the fact that we have prophesied does not make you a prophet. The fact that you have prophesied, it does not make you a prophet. Amen. It means that you have exercised the simple gift of prophecy. That's all it means. You're not a prophet, so don't go around saying, thus says the Lord, because you'll be out of order. Let me repeat that. If prophecy or prophesying made you a prophet, then Paul would be contradicting himself. However, the fact that you prophesied does not make you a prophet. It means that you have exercised the simple gift of prophecy. Amen. Now, let me give you an example that maybe can kind of clear this up a little bit for you. A rich man has money. We all know that. He has money. All of us have at least some money. But that doesn't make us rich. It just means we have some money. But by the same token, a prophet would prophesy, but he who prophesies wouldn't necessarily be a prophet. A prophet, for example, would have more of the gifts of the Spirit in operation than just the gifts of prophecy. He would have revelation gifts operating along with prophecy. Let me repeat that. A prophet, for example, would have more of the gifts of the Spirit in operation than just the gift of prophecy in his life. He would have revelation gifts operating along with prophecy. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 29, it says this. It says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. It says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the other judge. Then in verse 30, he says, but if anyone is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. There, he is talking about revelation. The prophet would have these other revelation gifts operate in his life. You see what I'm saying? It says, it's in verse 29, it says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. And then verse 30, it says, but if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. So he is talking about revelation. The prophet would have these other revelations gifts operating. In other words, what was been said, it would be revealed to him. Thus, to stand in the office of the prophet, a person must have operating in this ministry the gifts of prophecy plus at least two of the revelation gifts, either the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and or the gifts of discerning the spirits. A prophet should have those gifts of revelation working in his ministry. Therefore, we should not confuse the office of the prophet with the simple gift of prophecy, which all believers are told to desire. See, all believers are encouraged to desire these gifts, you know. But all can have the gift of prophecy because God would not have told us to desire something that wasn't available to us. He would be an unjust God if he told us to do that and we couldn't desire them. God doesn't operate that way. He is not a respected person. Once he tells us to do something, then that's it. That's it. That's the word of God. You know, God is not a man because he cannot lie. So he tells us to desire these gifts. And we should desire these gifts of the Holy Spirit because you know what they do? They are the prophet, the whole body of Christ. They for us to use these gifts in order to build up, exhortation and for comfort of the church. It's for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort of the church. Amen. Therefore, like I said, we should not confuse the office of the prophet with the simple gift of prophecy, which all believers are told to covenant. All can have the gift of prophecy because God wouldn't have told us to desire something that wasn't available to us. All can prophesy, but we all can all not be prophets. In Acts 21, we see a spiritual illustration of the gift of prophecy. So please go to your books to Acts 21, the book of Acts, chapter 21. And we're going to see what Paul is explaining to us. Acts 21, beginning with verse number 8. And it says this, on the next day, We who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. So we see here the companions of Paul, they went to Caesarea and they stayed with Philip, who was an evangelist. Verse 9. And now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Lord, who shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and delivered him into the hands of the Gentiles?" So we see here right now that these people were in the house, and these four virgins, his daughters, they prophesied. Amen. But you know what? I have to prophesy because you know what? I am just about out of time. But please join us next week when we continue our teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It simply says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.